Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
You're in the kickoff tonight, and to pick on from 10 o'clock.
We believe the charity can get us guys talking about health and talking about prostate cancer. You need to do it the right way. That right way is to talk to them about things that they like sport, you know, in particular football.
Hello and welcome to We Are Going Up, a special mini episode live from the banks of the River Thames. It is Thursday evening. I've just realised my watch doesn't show the date. I think it's the 29th of January. It is. I'm Mark Crossy. David Cameron Walker is here. We're kind of huddled in a corner away from the noise, which you can probably hear in the background, which is a live broadcast going on TalkSport. Tell us more about this, Dave.
Yeah, well, Mark Saggers is maybe one of the voices you can hear. He's at the helm of the special broadcast, all in aid of supporting Prostate Cancer UK, who are TalkSport's official charity partner. They're a charity you will have heard about a lot on our podcast.
Official charity partner of the Football League.
Exactly. You've seen their logos and their advertising all across the Football League for the last few years. A cause that we believe in, and it's great to be here tonight to play a small part.
And the free food is amazing.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so coming up, you're going to be able to hear quite a few interviews, which we've done in this very glamorous setting, just huddled at the top of the stairs up here. Mark Bishop from Prostate Cancer UK is going to come on a little bit later, tell us all about Man United this year and the whole event tonight. We're also going to speak to Andy Ambler, Chief Executive of Millwall, who's going to spare a couple of minutes to chat to us, which is perhaps quite admirable considering how they're doing at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as you'll hear from Andy, he's not hiding. You know, he's quite open about the situation they're in, and it's not a great one at the moment, but you know, they're trying to do something about it.
Also coming up, a man who is a football encyclopedia, Mark Langdon from the Racing Post. You were telling me all about your awe for his football knowledge.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, you'll hear me at the start of the season trying to predict what's going to happen and quite often getting it wrong. Well, this is a man who, you know, writes the football bible at the start of the season, the Racing Post betting guide, and I mean, he's an encyclopedia of football knowledge, as you'll hear later on, I'm sure.
And also here tonight on the panel, live on TalkSport, are Matt Holland, former Republic of Ireland, of course, a player scored in the World Cup, captained Ireland, captained Ipswich in the Premier League, Charlton as well. So we're going to speak to Matt a little bit about his former clubs and the big London to Amsterdam, London to Holland bike ride, which he's been not forced into doing, but he's going to be doing it because of his name primarily. But we're going to start with a man who's not really been sort of in management for the last few years, but he has managed quite a lot of Football League clubs.
Indeed, former Derby manager, former Ipswich Town manager, former Crystal Palace manager, former Southampton manager, former Hearts, former Scotland manager, distinguished playing career as well for Ipswich Town. It's George Burley.
George Burley is here tonight, and we were lucky to spend a few minutes chatting to him about a variety of subjects, as you're about to hear. But I started by asking him how important it is that football supports causes like Prostate Cancer UK.
I think it's very important because I think everybody knows, you know, either has had cancer or a member of the family's had cancer, or friends. So everybody's aware of it, and the more we can do, the more we can raise funds, can help cure cancer, actually, you know, be able to give money to try and get new drugs that will, you know, hopefully put it away. So it's very important, and when you're in, you know, the sort of, you know, view of the public, it does help. You know, I remember I ran the London Marathon for Brain Tumour UK for that. So, it was a great feeling to be able to do something like that, and to come to these events is brilliant.
And George, just back to one of your former clubs, Ipswich Town. I mean, really, the last time they had any sort of success was when you were in charge, and they got up to that famous season. We got up to the Premier League and finished fifth. And it's been a tough time since, really, you know, in the Championship, lots of mid-table finishes. But this season, Mick McCarthy has done an amazing job, currently sitting third in the table, spent next to nothing on that team. and got a real good chance of going up. But as we come into the last few months of the season, do you think they can do it and go up?
Yeah, it's been a difficult time over the years. You know, I was fortunate enough to take them in and play in the Premiership and qualify for Europe. I think Joe Royal got them into the playoffs. But since then, it's been difficult for the fans, but they've stuck behind the club. They've got a tremendous new owner, Marcus Evans, who has supported the club and, you know, everybody who's worked here. And Mick McCarthy's come in and did a fabulous job. And you see, he's at the moment, I think they've just went into fourth position. But, you know, I feel they've got a great opportunity this season. They've been, you know, very consistent. The home form's been great. And I firmly believe that this could be the season that Ipswich can get promoted, whether it's through the playoffs or automatically. So everything to play for. And, you know, I'll be there on Saturday. We'll play against Wigan. But there's a buzz about the place, and the town needs it, because the town generates its, you know, excitement from the football club. And that's been missing for a number of years. But when you go down to Portman Road and about the town, everybody's excited about prospects to try and get back into the Premiership.
You took them up through the playoffs in that final against Barnsley, and whether it be the playoffs for Ipswich this season or whether they go up in the top two, as we get into the last few months of the season, what are the sort of things that really make the difference when you're getting to that crunch stage of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think I talked about consistency. Mixed team, you know, Ipswich this season has been consistent, you know, and I've seen virtually all the home games, and they, you know, they work very hard for each other, look very solid. You know, Murphy up front's been phenomenal. He's scoring goals for, you know, and his partnership with David McGoldrick has been very, very good. They've just brought Sears in and Hunt, you know, in the transfer window, which will give them more strength up front. So I think it looks very encouraging.
You've obviously managed at that level, as we just mentioned. Obviously now, with so many ex-Premier League teams in that division, do you think it's even harder to get out of a division like that? And you've got all these clubs who've got parachute payments and have been in the Premier League. Does that highlight even more what a job he's done to do that of a squad of just £10,000?
Yeah, I think it is tough, but it always has been. And then you look at the three teams who actually have got parachute money, who have came down, haven't been doing very well. So I think in this day and age, with freedom of contracts and Mick showing that, you can pick players up and, you know, for nothing on freeze, who's got Premiership experience, Championship experience, for nothing. So, and then that's what Mick's done. He's done, you just say, spent virtually nothing. We're really pushing for promotion. So for me, you know, he's done an absolute magnificent job.
Another one of your old teams, Derby County, just signed one of your old players, Darren Bent, scored two goals for Derby in the week. And, you know, a goal scorer like him really could make a big difference to a team like Derby, who missed out so narrowly last season. And what sort of impact do you think Darren Bent will have for Derby?
Yeah, I mean, Darren was a player I've seen since he was 14 year old. Gave him his debut at 17. Great lads, always scores your goals for me. Ipswich was phenomenal, his goal scoring record. I actually seen him before, you know, Ipswich played Derby and he was on the bench and didn't get on. And I said to him, you know, when I've seen him in telly in the last few years, it's not the Darren Bent I know. He seems to be worrying about things. So I told him, just go and enjoy it and the goals will come. For me, he's looking a bit apprehensive. So maybe, you know, going to Derby, fabulous club, great manager and Steve McLaren has given him a new lease of life, because there's no doubt Darren's capable of scoring goals in the Championship for fun, and he could be the difference for Derby to get promotion this season.
It's interesting you mentioned that about his apprehensiveness, so, because over the last few years it hasn't really gone well for him. Since he left Sunderland, really, it didn't really go well for him at Villa, and I've heard a few managers who've worked with him sort of, you know, not picking him and saying that he maybe doesn't do enough for the team, but he has got that goal scoring record. So what do you think went wrong for Darren Bent over the last few years?
It's very hard to say. All I can say is, you know, I'd had him since a kid, and he was terrific to work with. He's a player you want to play to his strengths, i.e. he needs to play with a striker he can play off. He needs to run onto channels. He'll get in the end of things. He's a good finisher and he's good in the air, and he needs to be loved. And Darren, you know, if he's in and out of the team, and, you know, remember Darren moved away from Ipswich, went to Premiership Club, and then he's always been used to playing football and always been a regular, and all of a sudden you're not, and you're out of the limelight, it can affect you. And you can see by his body language for me, so that's why I gave him a little kick up the backside and said, come on, Darren. And his dad was there as well, who's a lovely fella as well. And as I say, he's at a great club with a very good manager.
Looking at the situation from outside the game, we can look at players' records and say, oh, why, you know, he scored goals here, there, and everywhere. Why isn't he scoring? Why isn't he playing well? And I think we can perhaps sometimes underestimate the psychological side of the players and the difference that a manager can make to a player, giving him confidence. And that plays such a big part in the success of a footballer, doesn't it?
Definitely. They say, you know, if you're not mentally right, it doesn't matter about your ability and what, you know, quality you've got. If you're not confident and enjoying your game and happy, you're not going to play well. So that's very important. And if you're not playing regular, you know, players can get their head down. And that's a problem. You know, if you're playing every week and the manager's picking you all the time, it gives you a boost. And if you're not, it can be very difficult, especially if it goes on for a long time. And that's what I think is what's happened to Darren.
George Burley talking to us a little bit earlier here at the Man United Arms. You listen to a We Are Going Up mini episode special. Always good to chat to a manager just to get their take on things, especially very interesting with Darren Bent as well, because he is a player who's, to all outsiders, very bizarre situation at Villa. But yeah, George very much of the opinion that he can turn things around in his career still.
Yeah, and I'd have to agree with him. I think, as George said, if in the right team with the right manager, and I think Steve McCarron is a manager who's got a reputation for being not just a good coach but places a lot of emphasis on the psychological side, you know, sports psychologists who work with him, can get Darren Bent happy in a successful team playing good football, and he's scoring goals already. And I think, you know, they had some great goal scorers last season, Chris Martin, Craig Bryson, but maybe, you know, they just fell short in that last match against QPR at Wembley. And I think if it was to come down to a game in the last weekend of the season for them to go up or a playoff final, you do fancy them just to get that goal they need if Darren Bent was in their team.
Well, one man who was the captain of George Burley's team when he was manager of Ipswich when they got promoted, got into Europe, finished fifth in the Premier League in that famous season, is Matt Holland, now a presenter on Talk Sport, Prince Kickoff on a Friday night. Matt was also here as well on the panel tonight for Prostate Cancer UK, and we started by asking him about this event which is happening at the end of the season, all the way from London to Amsterdam. You might remember we had Lufa Blissett on last year who did the ride, and obviously Matt has been roped in because of a slightly tenuous connection.
Yeah, looking forward to it actually. TalkSport, of course, who I work for, have teamed up with Prostate Cancer UK. We've got this bike ride coming up in June. It's London to Amsterdam, and because my name's Matt Holland, they thought it would be a good idea to get me on board and name it Holland to Holland. So they actually asked me to do it last year. I couldn't because I was at a wedding. This year I've got no excuses, basically. Yeah, exactly. So no, I'm looking forward to doing it actually. It'd be a new challenge, something different. Never really cycled before, got a mountain bike, used to have a BMX, but a racing bike's slightly different, so looking forward to it though.
I've seen you play a few games of five-a-side with the TalkSport staff outside the offices. You're not in bad, Nick, but you know, it's a different kettle of fish going all the way to Amsterdam, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no, fitness isn't too bad. I actually went for a run this morning, so I tried to tick over a little bit, but cycling is different. I've just spoke to a cycling specialist actually here tonight, and he said he's going to get me fitted up properly on the bike, because you can pick up a lot of injuries when you're doing that many miles. If you're doing it wrong, then you're going to get a few injuries. So a little bit worried about that when he said that. So I'm going to get it fitted up properly, do the training, and try and get some miles under my belt, and then ready for it in June.
In terms of Prostate Cancer UK, obviously the Football League official charity partner, how great do you think it is that they've got the backing of 72 clubs and the communities to promote a charity like this, which is obviously so important to men?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, to be honest, I'm not sure how many each club are going to get to do the bike ride. I know already that my former club, Ipswich Town, have already signed 70 people up. As for the other clubs, I don't know. I'm hoping that as a TalkSport team, we can beat Ipswich. Simon Milton is heading up that team, and then we used to play together many years ago. So it's a bit of competition on firstly, who can get the most people signed up, and secondly, who's going to get across that finishing line first as well.
And speaking of your former team, Ipswich Town, I mean, I was speaking about this a few weeks ago on our podcast, like Mick McCarthy. I mean, he is getting a lot of praise, but I don't think he's getting enough praise just for the amazing job that he's done. He spent next to nothing on that team in terms of transfer fees, and you know, they're doing so well, and you know, real chance of going up.
he's done brilliantly. I mean, I'm a massive fan of Mick McCarthy, having played under him for the Republic of Ireland. I'm well aware of how good a manager he is. He's got a history of getting teams promoted from the Championship into the Premier League, but on this occasion, to do it with the resources he's had is quite phenomenal, particularly when you look back and, you know, a couple of previous managers have had quite a bit of money to spend and didn't get anywhere near the playoffs. Last season there was an upturn in performance, and this year to be where they are now is nothing short of a miracle, I think. I mean, I felt they'd be around the playoffs at the start of the season. If you asked me where they'd finish, I'd sort of said 6th to 8th, something like that. But they're pushing closer to the top two. I mean, talking about money spent, Tyrone Mings, 10,000. They just spent a little bit more now on Freddie Sears from Colchester, but he was out of contract in the summer. Certainly wouldn't have cost an awful lot of money.
But wait, when you compare it to a club like Bournemouth, who sometimes people say are little old Bournemouth, and one of your former clubs as well, but I mean, they spend millions of pounds on players.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I mean, I'm led to believe that the wage bill's quite high at Bournemouth as well, and they've just had bids for young Gray at Birmingham turned down, up to £3.5 million, I think. So they're desperately trying to get some deals done before that transfer window shuts on Monday. If you're spending £3.5 million on a player, you put yourselves under pressure to get promoted, you know. But they're there to be shot at, Bournemouth. They are a very good team. I watched them last year about three or four times, and some of the football they play is terrific. They played at Ipswich last season in a 2-2 draw, and I felt Bournemouth played Ipswich off the park. And I actually texted Eddie Howe after the game just to say how impressed I was with his team, and some of the football they played was terrific. So I felt this year they would go close. Again, I felt top six. Derby were always my favourites. I felt that Wigan would be close as well, and how wrong could I be? But certainly, you know, Bournemouth, I felt, and Ipswich would be there and thereabouts.
Just a final question on another of your former clubs, Charlton. Bit of a different story for them. I think they've had four managers in the last 12 months now. Guy Luzon's the latest to go in there. They've obviously been a club which has stuck by their managers for a long time. Obviously, you played under Alan Kirbishley, who was there for a long time. Is it a bit of a shame, do you think, that they are seemingly kind of turning over the managers like everyone else?
Yeah, it is a shame. I'm slightly biased because I played with him, but Chris Powell was, I felt, doing a decent job at Charlton. Obviously got them promoted back from League One into the Championship. I was really upset, really, that he's, you know, no longer there anymore. And you look at the job he's doing at Huddersfield, and you realise how good a manager he is and is going to be as well. So I'm a little bit sad that he's not there. It has been a shame what's happened over the last sort of couple of years. At the start of the season, they had a good start under Bob Peters. It has tailed away in recent months, and he unfortunately has paid his with his job. Don't know a great deal about the new guy. I know they've signed someone today from Standard Liège, another midfielder. So there has been a lot of personnel coming from abroad, and from some of the feeder clubs of the owner. I just hope that in the next couple of years there's a bit of consolidation and we see them flying.
So that was Matt Holland speaking to us a little bit earlier. Lovely guy. You can hear his show on Talksport on Friday nights this season. The Players Lounge, I believe it's called. 7 o'clock onwards is when you can listen. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Mark Bishop from Prostate Cancer UK. Also, a man who knows everything there is to know about football generally.
Yeah, football league, football across the world, all the smart tips to bet on.
The kind of guy who in a football pub quiz you think you're going to do well, he comes along and you haven't got a chance.
Absolutely. I have actually been to a couple of quizzes which Mark Langdon has attended and been on other teams, and yeah, he is very much a trump card.
So Mark Langdon from the Racing Post will speak to us soon. But next we're going to speak to a man who's been heavily involved in Prostate Cancer UK. In fact, his club have been heavily involved. The charity game was at the Den last season that you played in. The TV advert with Bill Bailey was there. Andy Ambler.
Yeah, chief executive of Millwall. Not having the best of times this season on the pitch, but they are a club who are off the pitch, you know, I think continue to defy their unjust reputation that some people still give them. They do a lot for Prostate Cancer UK, so it was great to talk to Andy tonight.
Okay, well, you'll hear that in just a second.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
And Andy, we're here at the Man United Arms tonight for a big night of Prostate Cancer UK and TalkSport. Obviously, you do loads with Prostate Cancer UK at Millwall. How pleased are you to see that the charity's getting so much publicity?
It's excellent. I mean, it's obviously been dealing with PCUK now for, 18 months, nearly 2 years. And I think it's going, all the media attention and all that football's doing is going strength to strength. The link with the Football League is excellent as well. And, we're very proud at Millwall to be involved. And the attention and things like tonight are actually saving people's lives, and that's what it's all about.
And Millwall very much a sort of flag bearer really for Prostate Cancer UK. The Football League as a whole has got on board, but really you really have pushed the envelope in terms of publicly supporting the charity on your shirts, loads of advertising at the ground. So I mean, it's great to see a club doing that.
We were proud to do it. We were pleased what it did. I mean, we got something out of it as well. And I mean that the staff, the fans, the players, it was the response from everybody was a collective of actually we're doing something really, really good here. So, the traditional view, you get sponsor, you put them on a shirt and you do, but this was different, and it actually brought the staff and the players and the fans closer together in a way. So it worked for us as well. But the Football League link was PCUK was with the Football League first, and then we came along and did the shirt, and then but it went on from that with the Men of Men on the back of every number, so it's on every shirt of the Football League this year. And I'm on the board of directors of the Football League, and I have to say we took the idea to them, and Sean Harvey, the chief exec there, took that on board and took it further than I actually believed they ever would. So it's amazing how that idea came out of a quick lunch and a couple of pints one lunchtime, and these were the best things that come out of it. But to say that every Football League club has the PCUK logo on it this year is pretty unbelievable from where we were.
Now Andy, just a couple of questions on this season. Obviously it hasn't gone to plan so far. Good start, but since it's fallen into bad form. But you've chosen to back the manager. A number of new signings have come in over the last few weeks. I mean, how confident are you at this stage of getting out of trouble?
As confident as we can be. Confidence is higher than it was a few weeks ago, because we've brought the new players in, and the performances have been better, but they're not up to the level we need them to be. We've got 19 games to go, starting at Forest away this Saturday, and in order to bridge the gap. But we were in a similar position last year. Last year we changed the manager, and it was the last 8 games of the season that we went on an unbeaten run and saved ourselves. I mean, we've got 19 games, a little bit longer, but the new players need to gel. I think we saw a response on our game on Tuesday night when we drew at home with 10 men for a lot of the game. So the spirit is there. I think the fans have responded magnificently to the changes. The person that needs to take all the plaudits is the chairman, because it's sometimes easy to dismiss your manager. It's not quite as easy to change your squad around in the mid-season, and he's put the money up to do it. So fair play to John Berylson. The fact that he wants continuity and stability at his football club, and that's what he actually preaches. That's what we're going to try and do, and we'll see where we go. Hopefully it'll keep us in the Championship.
You say there, it is easy to look at the manager in times of trouble and say they're the ones that need to go. The fans are often quick to blame the manager, but you've been brave in a way and said, no, we're going to stick by Holloway. He kept us up last season. We're going to back him to do the same this season. And another brave decision that Ian and the club have made recently is to give the captain's armband to 19-year-old Sid Nelson in a relegation battle in the Championship. That's pretty unheard of to do, but it shows great faith in a young player there.
Sid's got a great future ahead of him. Unfortunately, Sid got sent off on Tuesday night and misses the next 3 games, but that shows the passion he's got. And I think the manager sent a message out to the fans, to the other players, that we need passion. Sid's been Sid's family are Millwall through and through. He's been at the club many years, even though he's 19, as you say. I think we'll be careful with Sid. A lot of people said, you'll ruin if you're not careful, and they're right to a degree. We can't. I mean, David Ford was back as captain on Tuesday night, but we need leaders. We need new heroes at Millwall. We've had some fantastic players over the last few years. Paul Robinson ended his career and went to Portsmouth. People like Robbo have made Millwall what they are. But you need to move on. You need to get new heroes, as I say, and Sid could be. with us for a long time and be that new hero. And you know, Robbo came into the side way back when Millwall was struggling as well. And you know, then he had an illustrious career and captained the team many times. So we hope that can be the case as well.
This is a We Are Going Up special.
I'm Mark Langdon from the Racing Post, and you know, every week I have to predict which teams in the Football League are going to win. It's not easy, obviously. The Football League's such an unpredictable one, but I give it a good go.
And Mark, every season when we do our pre-season preview podcast, I'm usually there clutching onto the Racing Post season betting preview, which is like a bible for Football League fans and all football fans really at the start of the season. So we're just over halfway through the season now. I mean, listeners will be well aware of how bad some of my predictions have been, but I mean, how do you think it's going so far? I mean, are there any, you know, compared to what you thought maybe would happen at the start of the season?
Well, I think in the Championship, the one that surprised me the most has been Brentford. I knew they were a progressive club, but I wasn't quite sure that they'd be able to push on for the top six. But every time I've seen them play, they look every bit as good as most of the teams around them. I think Alex Pritchard's been a fantastic loan signing from Spurs, so I think he's definitely one that's got a future in the Premier League. There's no doubt about that. Bournemouth are playing the best football in the division, but they've got some big ones on their tails now with Derby and Middlesbrough, who are two favourites at the moment to go up.
And in terms of disappointment, Wigan obviously got to the playoffs last season. I think they're in my top two to go up automatically, and they're going to be lucky to stay up at this rate.
Well, they are, and it's sort of almost a case of last one out, switch off the lights, because of the amount of players they've lost. You know, Maloney and Forshaw, he's gone to Middlesbrough, and Watson's gone, and Ramis has also left as well this week. So I think Malcolm McKay has just got to keep them up somehow. But at the moment, you know, you're looking at the bottom, you're saying, OK, Blackpool are gone, Millwall are in big trouble. That third spot is looking like them at the moment. Now, eventually, you'd think that they end up being too good to go down, but I'm not sure really that they are. I mean, you look at the squad list and think, surely, you know, Wigan won't suffer successive, you know, relegations, or not successive ones, but you know, from the playoffs and then go back down. So they were so close to promotion last season, but this team is playing some pretty horrible football as well at the moment, it has to be said.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, and it is remarkable when you see how many players have left really, when you look at not just in January, but quite a lot left in the summer really, but maybe we should have looked at them. I can't help but think that maybe they just would have been better sticking with Rosler.
I understand what you're saying, but I felt he was a very negative manager, or particularly away from home. Now, obviously, things have not worked out since they got rid of him, and you know, I think that the Malcolm McKay decision was a strange one for me, given what was hanging over his head at the time. It was always going to bring unnecessary pressure, I feel, on a manager. But yeah, I can understand why they got rid of Rosler, but obviously it now looks a bad decision because they're in an even worse state. Another one would be Brighton, who I fancied for the top six. I think they're a very progressive team, just didn't work out in the Sammy Hippier. So often I'd look at the stats and they dominate possession, shots on target, but they were desperately lacking a goal scorer. I think Chris Hughton will benefit, not necessarily by doing anything different, just from a change of luck as much as anything else, because I don't see a completely different team, just one that's now getting the breaks that they weren't before.
In League One, Sheffield United obviously have done so well in the Cups this season, they might still get a big tie against Manchester United maybe in the FA Cup. I don't think they're even in the playoff spots at the minute. How do you see the top of League One? Obviously, Bristol City and Swindon are really setting the pace up there.
Yeah, I think Swindon are the best footballing team in the division. I know that that's a big call with MK Dons, and most people really like MK Dons, but I think Swindon are a fantastic team to watch. Probably one of the best footballing teams in the whole of the Football League, never mind just League One. I think they've got it absolutely spot on with their transfer business in terms of bringing through players that didn't quite make it at the Premier League, the likes of Luongo, who's definitely going up to the Championship with or without Swindon next season. You know, Williams, of course, is scoring a lot of goals for them at the moment. They've got very good variety to their attack, and I think they'll definitely finish in the top two. Bristol City are doing really well at the moment. I've just got a little almost squiggle by their name, because in how many years have I've seen Bristol City in League One, in that division, and then when they were in the Championship, they should be almost pushing on for the Premier League, and they find ways of struggling come the end of the season. Now, I hope that they don't this time around, because they've been one of the best two teams throughout. They've shown the best consistency. I think their formation has worked really well. They've got good options up front. You know, Wilbraham's been missing for a while, and Agard was out as well. It hasn't affected them that much. So you would imagine that those two would go up. But I've been very disappointed with Preston. The Joe Garner injury, I think, really killed their automatic hopes. I think MK Dons will fall just short, and I wouldn't want to be fancying them in the playoffs, because they've not got the best of records in the playoffs. So maybe it could be another disappointment for MK Dons. They've got to keep hold of Ali in the transfer window, even if that means selling him and bringing him back on loan, because he's a standout player in the division.
And let's test your knowledge even further, which I'm sure you'll be fine with. At League 2, obviously the teams up there, Wickham, Burton, Luton are having a good season, Southend, Shrewsbury as well, so it's just as tight at the top of League 2.
Oh yeah, I mean, picking a winner of this one seems almost as difficult now as what it did back in August. In August I went for Southend, and they've been on some really good runs. I think Phil Brown's got the team defensively how he'd like it, and he's brought in some lone players recently, Pickett from Cholton. I spoke to Phil Brown recently on TalkSport, and off air he was very confident that Pickett and Cassidy would do the business for him up front, and if they didn't, they would push on the likes of Barry Corr and Cortez to, you know, to push them over the line for automatic. So I still think they'll be there or thereabouts, because they've had a couple of good results recently. Burton just keep going. I thought that maybe Gary Rowett, you know, losing him would be too big a blow for them, but it hasn't turned out to be. Hasselbank has come in. I don't think he's radically changed anything. Maybe playing a little bit more football, but they still look like going up. Shrewsbury, their home form's all important for them, and you'd think that the way they've been playing at home, they would accumulate enough points. I think Bury have been a slight disappointment, particularly away from home. I know they got the win against Accrington last time out, but I think they could possibly miss out. But it's fascinating because, you know, you've got the likes of Luton as well in there that I felt would just miss out on even the top seven, but as they look a typical John Steele team to me, so I think they could be the ones. If they get in the playoffs, I'd always back John Steele. I think he's a fantastic manager.
Of course, Mark, you are a betting man, and I suppose we should finish off with just maybe one from each division, if you can, off the top of your head, kind of a value pick for someone that might make a late charge into the playoffs.
Oh, in terms of the Championship, the one I like, they're already in the playoff spots, but they're not really being spoken about as a playoff team, and that's Brentford, who I mentioned earlier. So I'll go for them to get promoted, because if they get in the top six, no fear for them, because they're not expected to go up. They'll be against bigger teams where almost, you know, the likes of Derby and Middlesbrough will be feeling the heat if they're in and around those positions. So I'll go for them in that division. In terms of League One, I'll go for Swindon to win it, rather than, because at the moment Bristol City are quite strong favourites, but I think Swindon can match them and leapfrog them, and, you know, and eventually go on to the title. Like I mentioned earlier, I think they're such a strong team. And in League Two, the ones that I think are most underrated would probably be Burton. Now, obviously, they're in and among the promotion favourites at the moment, but Shrewsbury take up a lot of the betting market because I think everybody expects them to go up. But I think Burton, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, if anything, is being slightly underrated, you know, because normally you over rate managers that have got such a brilliant pedigree in terms of playing, but he's somebody that's done the hard yards, you know, in lower leagues elsewhere, and I think they could win the title.
That man really is an encyclopedia on everything football.
If we need another co-host, yes, at all, we need to get him in.
Check out the Racing Post, obviously, for more of that kind of stuff from Mark, and you can hear him on TalkSport as well, on the Breakfast Show, is it? He pops in occasionally,
all over the place.
Okay, fair enough. Right, one man who we really wanted to talk to tonight is Mark Bishop from Prostate Cancer UK. We've obviously put on this whole event, the Men United campaign has restarted. You can find it more if you go to Prostate Cancer UK's website. And we started by asking Mark about the event here tonight at the Men United Arms.
So the Men United Arms is the very first pub that the charity's launched, and it's all about bringing men together, keeping male friendships alive. And we're really pleased tonight to have TalkSport doing an outside broadcast, talking about the transfer window, talking about football, getting us guys talking about the stuff we love.
And I do believe there's a big bike ride coming up, isn't there, from London to Amsterdam. Matt Holland's going to be going on from TalkSport, but I understand, you know, you want people to get involved to raise money for prostate cancer.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on there. So we've got a nice pun on words there in Holland, taking us to Holland. And we had 150 people take part last year. We expect to double that this year. And it's the ride that's endorsed and part of the partnership with the Football League. So it's the official bike ride that Prostate Cancer UK are doing with the Football League. And if anything like last year, we'll have at least 50 clubs put in, former players, sometimes managers and owners, and of course fans taking part. So it's a really great celebration. Cycling and football, and bringing different teams together for a common purpose.
Last year we had a couple of your ambassadors on talking about the Men United campaign. Obviously, had Bill Bailey doing the advert, Millwall, and the big charity game, which David played in unsuccessfully. Did you win or did you lose? I can't remember.
I think we were robbed.
Right, okay. So tell us a little bit about the campaign this year, because you've just launched it again on the day we're recording yesterday.
Well, let me just firstly pick up on that match last year. So we played down at the Den, and it was a Men United 11 versus the Politicians, so the UK Parliamentary Party. party. And the politicians had, if I remember, Laurie McMenemy as their manager, and they were losing 4-0, yeah, and came back to win 6-5. But rumour has it there was 12 politicians on the pitch at some time. But actually, the great thing was every goal scored, £100 was donated to the charity. So
one of them had a whistle in his mouth and was wearing a black shirt. Yeah,
that's it. And actually, what was lovely about that day was there's a guy, a big black guy called Errol in goal, and Errol's been involved with football all his life, and it's the first time he'd played football again since having his operation for prostate cancer. It's a lovely story behind it, and he, even though he let in 6 goals, you know, it's just great to have on the pitch, have him happy and healthy. But to turn our attention to this year's campaign, so we've got a fantastic campaign this year. It's all about Men United still, but it's about bringing men together, not just through football, through other sports, through pubs, and just giving guys a chance to see their mates more, celebrate friendship, and just celebrate what it's like to be a man alive and happy and well these days.
Before the Men United campaign and the work you've done with the Football League and Millwall, and you know, and with people like us, I'll admit that prostate cancer wasn't really on my radar, and I imagine it's probably the same for a lot of football fans out there. I mean, in the time that since you've started the Men United campaign, I mean, what do you think the response has been from like the public out there?
Well, we know that awareness of prostate cancer is improving, and we put that down to talking to men where they like to be talked about. So notionally, we said about 5 years ago in the charity, we've got to get to the guy on the terraces and talk to the men in football grounds. And actually, we just know that guys don't go to the doctor's surgery to pick up a leaflet, but seeing a programme ad, hearing a Tannoy announcement, seeing something on their favourite club's website, seeing their favourite player wearing our badge or the manager, that makes a difference. So we unquestionably know that the world of football is a way to bring prostate cancer into men's lives.
Just a final one from me about the Football League. How great is it to have the support of so many clubs? Obviously, you had the logos on the shirts. You see a lot of the ex-players wearing the badges. What's that support been like for the charity?
Well, what's great, you know, you've got 72 clubs, very strong 72 communities, but they're all obviously fighting for league dominance, but actually they come together to support the charity. And actually, when you get into it, so many of these clubs are really well run, real loyal fan base, great ownership kind of there. And we've been really, I guess, humbled by the amount of support we've had. And Millwall have been a great example of that, giving us the shirt sponsorship last year. And we just started working with Fulham, and the guys at Fulham are really passionate about making a difference for men's health, and just gives me a positive sense about what the Football League's all about.
So that was Mark Bishop, head of fundraising at Prostate Cancer UK, chatting to us a little bit earlier. Big thank you to all the guests who've spoken to us here tonight. The live broadcast is still going on, as you can hear in the background, but we're going to keep this short and sweet for this week.
I should say, before I get into what I wanted to say to you, Mark, I should just reiterate what Mark said. Get to prostatecanceruk.org, sign up for Men United, whether it's going on the bike ride to Amsterdam, or whether it's just, you know, giving some money to somebody that's doing it, or anything, you know, just being aware and telling your dad about it, telling your uncle or your brother, whatever it is, getting yourself checked. It's very important that you get behind the cause. But earlier, Mark, when Mark Langdon was talking about League Two, he didn't know that you were a Bury fan.
No, he didn't.
And I wanted to mention, but I thought I'd let him get on with it because he was in the zone. But Bury, you know, he said that he thinks they're going to slip out of the playoff zone. You did get a win the other night, though, didn't you?
Two wins. So I think we've won 3 of our last 4 games. We're back into it. We've got a big game on Saturday, which, well, depending on when you're listening to this, might have already happened. But we've got Burton away, so we're going to one of our rivals. And I was at the reverse game earlier in the season when we absolutely battered them. Don't think it's going to be quite that kind of story this time, but it's been a positive couple of weeks for us generally. For your side, you've scored how many? 12 goals in the last 2 games, including 7 in about 20 minutes on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it was 7 in 36 minutes officially, yeah. I mean, at half time in that game against Blackpool, I was at work that day, and I was thinking, you know, there was a lot of teams who weren't playing because of the FA Cup, and I thought this is a real opportunity here for us to make up ground on some of the other teams around us. And then what were we doing? 2-0 down to Blackpool. To Blackpool at half time. Typical of us over the last few years, fluffing our lines against the poor teams. But I thought if we get that first goal in the second half, surely we'll do it. Surely we'll do it. We got it straight away. Odio Ighalo, who I was speaking about last time out on the pod, scored 4 in the second half. Deeney got one, Angela got one, Vidra got one. I mean, an amazing half of football for us. And we're on a roll right now. It's looking good. And the thing that I'm most pleased about, not just the form of Ighalo, but the manager, Ivkanovic. I like him. When things are going wrong, whether it's a bad result or a bad performance at half time, he makes changes. And that was the thing that Zola really never had. He had one way of playing. If it didn't work, he didn't really have anything else in his locker, as much as I love him. Big, big game next for us on Friday night. It may have already happened by the time you listen to this, but on Friday night, down at Bournemouth, against Bournemouth, a huge game. If we win, we'll go third, I think, but we'll be level with the team in second place, and you know, we'll be right in there.
We will, when we do the next proper show in the studio, we'll chat a bit more about what's been going on in the Football League, but very, very quickly, we do have to mention Middlesbrough and Bradford are pulling off those incredible cup results. How good is Peterborough versus Bradford going to be for us now after that?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, will they take their eye off the ball, though, I suppose, when
there's still a few weeks before we go to that game.
Yeah, if you're looking at it from a Peterborough perspective, it might be a good thing for them. But incredible, wasn't it?
We can't really do it justice in a short 2-minute chat. I will say, Bantam's banter. You've got to listen to their latest episode. Obviously, we had Dom in particular on quite a lot a couple of years ago when they got to the League Cup final. He got punched on Saturday.
Really?
Celebrating one of the goals. Listen. They were commentating. I think they're in the press area again, alongside all the radio people. Yeah. And I don't think there's much of a barrier between them and the normal fans. And this Chelsea fan just had enough of them to go mental and landed one on him.
They do make a lot of noise, but that's a bit harsh, I think.
Yeah, you can check out Bantam's Banter if you go to the Bantam's Banter website. Also for us, audible.co.uk/goingup. If you want to sign up for a free 1 month trial, free audio book you can have on us. Also, if you go to the website wearegoingup.co.uk and follow the links, Paddy Power, you can sign up for an account there and you can get a free £20 bet if you bet a fiver. And also, the final thing to mention is the football pools. You get a free month if you sign up by going to the bottom of our homepage, wearegoingup.co.uk. You can hear Mark Saggers going on in the background. I think we should get back downstairs. Thank you very much for listening. We'll speak to you next time on We Are Going Up. We're getting a round of applause to end. Perfect.
First time for everything.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.